We're nerds.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the After Full Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And we are nerds.
With special guest.
Are we? Yeah, Salsa, normally you introduce the special guest. That's what I was waiting for.
I don't know how special she is.
I don't know.
Last time
we was on, rude. Y'all were just like, why didn't you introduce yourself? And we got to like halfway through the podcast, but still didn't know who I was.
I don't know what's going on.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm saving my beta, okay?
Who are these people?
With special guest?
What?
Bryn!
Yay!
Yay!
What are you drinking?
I got a
Johnny Dump Up.
Ooh.
Seattle cider, semi sweet hard cider. Say that once.
No.
Fact. That's
Seattle cider, semi sweet.
Once.
With Rebel Stoke spiced whiskey.
It doesn't say, you know, cinnamon or whatever. It's Rebel. Just spiced.
I mean, most of them. It does actually say, it says cardamom right on the front there.
No, it doesn't. It says Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Canadian? Oh, I thought that said cardamom. It went past the screen too quickly.
Other natural flavors.
Yeah, that's a different flower.
You're Canadian.
I mean, you were waving it in front of the camera. I thought it said. I thought. I thought that said cardamom. I was really excited.
No.
I was inspired by James's evil concoction last week.
Oh Jesus!
Oh no!
So. When I work at Renaissance festivals and stuff like that, I can't eat all day. So the only thing I eat is I have a couple protein shakes during the course of the day.
Oh, right.
And I had some protein shakes that, because I didn't do festivals this year, I didn't use, and they will eventually expire. And so I was like, I wonder if I could make a White Russian out of a protein shake.
Oh. That's not...
So I did...
I want to know how this works.
I have no idea. I did, like, 2 minutes before we started recording, I was like, I need a drink. I could do this. So I have no idea what's going to happen here.
My guess, let's take guesses first. My guess is that it is going to taste weird, but not unpleasant. It's not going to taste good.
That was my
but
guess.
But it's not going to be unpleasant.
I agree.
I think it's going to be very sweet. I think it's going to taste like a super sweet White Russian.
Okay. Mm.
Here we go. We're about to find out.
Oh, God. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Salsa, what is the verdict? Oh, he's still tasting it.
It might actually have improved the flavor.
What? That's not possible. I love White Russians. I'm
no,
sad
no,
I
of the protein shake.
No.
It not better than a normal White Russian. I'm saying that it might have improved the flavor of the protein shake.
Okay.
We were all deeply concerned.
Yeah, I saw what it seemed to be chewing.
It's not as thick. The alcohol thins it a little bit. And so it's more of a drink than a slurry.
James and I have gotten protein powder from a Irish family who recently came to the States who make vegan protein powder now. So, and it's really tasty. It's the tastiest protein powder I've ever tasted. So maybe you should try that one. It's chocolate.
I am using Premier Protein. We can get a box of like 18 of them at Sam's Club for reasonably priced, and they actually taste reasonable, honestly. Like I've had some of them that were just god awful, but these ones are reasonable, and because they are literally the only thing I eat during the day at Fest, that's important to me. Go ahead, Jenna.
As somebody who cannot have dairy, I am incredibly curious about these vegan protein shakes.
Yeah,
yes. I didn't say they were vegan. Oh, those ones. Oh, yeah.
No, theirs, not
theirs.
Yours.
Yeah, sorry, I was.
I don't want your Premier Pro. Yeah.
So want your filthy fucking dairy.
It's called. It's called Earth Chimp, and if you email me, I can give you a $10 off coupon if you get it through Amazon.
Yeah.
But I had seen that there was the coupon, and they emailed back. They're like, "Oh, we're an Irish family who has just gotten here in the States, and we're just trying to build our business. So here, throw this coupon around because we want people to know about us." And it's super cute, and it tastes really good.
Yeah,
do you know what ingredients are in it? Because there are a lot of not dairy things that I also can't have.
There's coconut.
Sad. Well, it's
for anybody else who's interested, the organic protein blend is pea, pumpkin, sunflower, and coconut. Cocoa, because this is the chocolate one. Date, banana, strawberry, beet, kale, and spinach. Chicory root, which I love chicory root. If you haven't had chicory coffee, it's amazing.
It is.
Flax, cinnamon, turmeric, and cocoa, monk fruit extract, probiotics, and digestive enzyme blend, which are...
Okay.
And then that's it.
Okay, so I can't have banana or coconut, so...
It says contains coconut, so that is actually an allergy warning on here.
Mm.
Which I'm impressed by, because I usually don't
right.
see that.
It's not often.
It also says, we rub peanuts all over this, not for Jenna's. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Switchman up.
Yeah.
Well, I've been doing my daily yoga stretches like a big girl.
Yay!
Yeah.
James joined me for one. Bryn was walking around in the background working on something or other. But, I've had at least one person show up every day.
Yay!
Nice.
Usually different people, which is amazing.
And that one person is you.
I'm kind of expecting that tomorrow, honestly. Yeah. But, I did my first one last Tuesday, I think. And after a couple of hours, I hurt. And I was like, that means that I have not been moving at all. Because that was not a lot of movement. Like, James, I did the same one that I did with you.
Yeah.
And
that knocked the shit out of me, and I've been doing yoga and biking 10 miles.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Maybe it's more of a workout than I thought it. It has never affected me that way before. So I was like,
it's tougher
on your ass entirely for like 5 months and then try to move your body. Huh. All right.
I feel that super hard.
So, yeah, I did that. Joe and I tried to make bone marrow over the weekend.
Giggity.
I mean, bone marrow is delicious.
You mean bone soup or what?
You get a bone. Well, okay.
Yeah, you do.
You get a bone, right? This is a bone.
Oh, God, this is going to be very horrifying. Dear Ian, she's using her own arm as an example.
She is currently bisecting her arm.
Yeah, so you have the bone, and you cut it in half.
Laterally.
Lengthwise.
Yeah.
Yes. So that you have two long halves, and all of the bone marrow is like, right there, like, kind of cupped. It's kind of like making antelope or whatever, with like celery, and you've got the peanut butter in the inside.
Yes.
Excavating it.
Yes.
Huh?
Is it making? Is it making it or excavating it?
Well, let her finish.
I'm making it right now.
Let her finish.
Yeah. Okay.
So you've got these two things, and the bone marrow is already in the inside, like peanut butter is on the inside of the celery, and then you roast it, and then you have roasted bone marrow, and you can just scoop it off of the thing. In order to prepare for this, you need to soak the bones in salt water to get all of the blood out. Oh, it's so cool. It looked like a horror film inside. It was just bones and blood water. It was great.
Bones and Blood Water is my new Led Zeppelin cover band.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, it is. But the problem is that the butcher shop where Joe goes for all of his delicious, tasty meats did not have the lengthwise ones. They didn't have them cut lengthwise. They had the like kind of the nubs where it almost looks like vertebrae chunks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
all of the stuff is on the inside, covered by bone.
Yeah,
you know,
like a dog
like
chew
bone
toy.
Well.
Yeah,
yeah. That did not work. We ended up with basically bone marrow juice dripping out of the hole.
Giggity.
Because, right? Not the sexiest thing I've ever seen. The juice was delicious on toast, however. It tasted like bone marrow butter. It was so good.
Ooh, whoa. Bone dripping out of the hole is my Slayer cover band.
Okay. That's a long band name. I'll go with album, maybe.
It's shorter than Electric Light Orchestra.
I don't think so. Anyway, so we tried it, and we failed because it didn't cook right.
Yeah.
This doesn't, like, we're trying to scrape out, you know, what we would hope would be roasted bone marrow, but it all just kind of slushed and globbed and wasn't
bled.
Good. I mean, again, everything that we had that came out of that was tasty, but it wasn't
the same
edible. It was just like drippy. It was like melted butter coming out of a bone is basically what it was.
I mean, again, like you said, like on toast, that sounds delicious.
And it was.
Yeah, but not what
you're
looking for.
So, out of curiosity, I Googled what is the longest band name, and there's apparently a band, it's a screamo band called The Powers of Darkness Shall Rain Blood Upon This City for 500 Years. That's the name of the band.
Damn. All right, James, I take it back. But the best part of this story is that Joe went to the butcher shop because he had asked about bones before, and he was like, oh yeah, we can get you bones, but he hadn't asked specifically about having them cut lengthwise.
Sure.
So when he went to the butcher shop, he was like, do you have any cut lengthwise? And they're like, no. And he's like, can you? And they said, we don't do that anymore.
Not since the incident.
Right. I want to know what that was. I want to know what bone cutting accident happened.
It's probably on 2010.
The camera pans over to a burn mark on the wall.
Just a scorch mark in the shape of a body against the wall.
Yeah. There was a clean spot in the shape of a body. Yes. Exactly.
At least the marrow was roasted that way.
Well, yeah.
Oh, it was the marrow was delicious.
Yeah. What?
It was so anyway, to send it to the widow. I don't.
Oh my God, James! You assumed it was a man.
I didn't. Seriously. I assumed that whoever it was had a partner that was a wife.
Oh, ooh, knighted! Mm. I got yeah.
All right.
You're the one making assumptions. You know that was in the film. You are sometimes correct.
I want to know what that incident was, but I also don't. We're gonna see if at some point we can find a place to get them lengthwise to try this again, because if you have not had roasted bone marrow, it's meat candy. It is.
That is.
And. Yes, Salsa?
Are you not able to just cut the bone yourself?
No. They would have to get a whole thing, and also, there's a reason that there is a bone saw.
Right.
This is not an easy thing.
I'm not saying you're going to mass produce them, obviously, but if you get a hacksaw, you can do it.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
How's that for an answer? I don't trust my own abilities and whatever's. And Joe is the one that keeps borrowing a power drill from me. So
where would you do it? Because I don't want that inside my place. And then you go outside to the front lawn, and then there are questions.
But on the plus side,
actually, Joe's neighbors know him really well. I don't think.
Well, okay.
So there are different questions.
There are different questions.
Lots of different questions.
My question would be: can I have some?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not going to cut all of those, can I make a fife?
Ooh.
Hmm. Yeah. A bone fife is my Slayer cover band.
That's my porn name.
Ooh. Very nice.
That is a good one.
F-Y-F-E or P-H-Y-F-E?
F-Y.
F-Y-F-E. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, we did that, and then we watched a lot of Parks and Rec.
Nice.
Yeah.
We also had lamb burgers. Joe's so happy that his butcher is back open that he has just been making meat, like, nonstop. Like, we had steak and eggs for breakfast. We had lamb burgers. It was his first attempt at lamb burgers, and they came out all right. Like, they were great. I ate them. But, yeah, he's like, oh, and then I'll have to do this thing to him, and I should do this to it, and I should put it in this kind of a bun. And I'm like, okay, sweetie, I'm just happy there's meat in my face. Like, you know.
I mean, it... Joe with meat right now sounds like me with pastry at the beginning of quarantine.
Probably, yeah.
Or me with meat always.
I don't know, James. I think Joe's got you kind of beat on this one.
Have you guys seen him when he gets kind of sick or when he hasn't had meat in a while?
Which him?
James. Have you seen him when he gets, like, a meat craving? He withers. It's like somebody has stuck a straw into him and sucked out the will.
The marrow.
Delicious.
Yeah. Was it roasted? Because otherwise you gotta salt it and let it.
It depends on how soon after I have roasted him.
Also that. Or if I've been in ring one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just remember to cut the bones laterally.
Yeah, you gotta cut the bones laterally.
Yeah.
No, Joe will get to the point of dizzy too sometimes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
fairly and there are certain times when I'm like, you need liver and onions, don't you?
Yep.
And it's specifically liver and onions. Mm. So there are meat moods.
Yes.
Mmm.
I don't know if Joe has meat moods, but James definitely has meat moods where there are times that he needs a steak and times that he needs liver and onions.
Mm-hmm.
Or haggis.
Oh.
I always need a haggis. That's not a, you know, a seasonal thing.
Yeah, it's not a seasonal thing. Okay.
I don't want than a need, though. Steak and liver and onions are kind of the meat and potatoes without potatoes.
No, they're the meat and the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so we've been watching Parks and Rec.
Very good.
And this is going to sound weird, but I have the biggest crush on Adam Scott ever. he has a weird little mouth, and I acknowledge that. But I still find him very hot. So, yeah.
Dear Adam Scott, you've got a weird little mouth, and I'm okay with that. Hit me up.
I did send him that once. I don't know why he didn't respond back.
He was busy. Eggles with his weird little mouth.
He was too busy checking the locks.
Was this before or after you confessed your love of bone marrow? Because I feel like those messages need to be sent very separately.
Oh, I don't know.
We don't bring that up until the third stalker email.
Right. Yeah. Charles, best friend, former landlord, was chatting with Alex, former friend, idiot, and his mom stepped in and was like, Charles, I just want to tell you that you have such beautiful skin. It's just so smooth, and your complexion is just so beautiful. It just looks so fine. And she stepped away, right? And Charles looks over at Alex and says, tell me if she starts digging any holes in the backyard. Just like...
breakfast was my idea.
Right? Just let me know if she starts, you know, making any graves. Just...
preparing.
To be fair, every once in a while I think about doing something like that to one of Jess's friends, like just to fuck with her. The problem is that Jessa might be more devious than I am.
Yeah.
So no, that's not payback for that is not going to be worth whatever takes place.
The other problem is Jessa knows your entire community and is friends with your entire community. So if you tried to pull anything on her, all of us would be willing and complicit in whatever shenanigans she
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
So like that's really
a concern
that you should have.
Right. Yeah. Well, like I said, she knows how important my community is, so her retribution probably would be that. But whatever it was, it would be evil and awful, and I would not be happy with it. I would have deserved it, though.
It would be worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, this would only be a war of escalation. I don't...
I mean, so far the worst retribution I've gotten from her is because I set up the Google House. And she just keeps asking the Google Minis every once in a while to tell me a joke.
Yeah, she does. Yes.
And that is the worst, because it's always dad jokes or puns. And we know how I feel about that.
The space station knows how you feel about that. They can feel the look that you give me from there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Certainly all of the NSA knows.
Nah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's basically what I did, is started yoga, tried to roast bone marrow, and drooled over Adam Scott.
Yeah, fair enough.
And tried to stalk him, and went poorly. The end.
Nice.
James, what'd you do?
This weekend was LAN weekend. And,
oh, buddy.
We've been doing a WAN instead of a LAN, W-A-N instead of L-A-N. I'm not usually one to tell stories from gaming experiences because they tend not to translate well and are often involved. But at the end of the night, there...
Oh, pause.
Yes.
Wait. So you're not one to tell stories that are long and often involved.
This is me recognizing that a story is longer and more involved than most of my usual stories, and
Shit.
So I don't usually tell them. This one I'll try to make as quick and painless as possible.
The difference is you don't want to torture them with this one.
I mean, also that. Yeah, Billy loved clowns. The story is just, at the end of the night, we were all pretty out of it and already a little punchy, so we decided to load up a Halo map where we would get little ATVs, and then someone would drive the ATV, and their partner would ride on the back and shoot at the other team with a rocket launcher. And it's house rules. The ATVs are called Mongoose, or Mongeese, I guess, plural. So it was House Rules Rocket Launcher Mongeese. And we just turned into fucking lunatics. It was like the outtakes from Dukes of Hazzard, I'm sure.
Including the dead bodies?
It was a travesty, yes. My favorite part is that some of the vehicles on the map are contained in a giant tank carrier land thing, almost like a sand crawler from Star Wars. And And those vehicles include the little ATVs, but also the big trucks with guns on the back. And so the other team radios in, and they're like, yeah, we can't find any of the little ATVs anymore. Is it okay if we grab one of the big ones? And we're like, that's fine. Yeah, absolutely. And then we see the giant tank advancing over the hill toward us, trying to mow us down very slowly. And we got crushed because we were laughing too hard to drive away in any kind of real effective way. Yeah, it was good. House rules, Team Rocket Launcher Mongeese. I'm going to be making shirts. Yes. So that, the LAN happened. And then Sunday was a socially distanced fencing booth event.
Right.
Yes. And I went and fenced and sat next to Bryn.
Yee, in a hammock.
In a hammock of our own devising.
Yee,
and of her own devising.
Yes.
And
thank you,
clerk. Yes. And just had a super nice time feeling really sad that we couldn't hug people.
Yeah.
That's what I was afraid of, yeah. That's why I did not attend.
It's powerful. It is. But it was a great time, and much fun was had by all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree that, like, I can respect staying home because you'd want to be close to people.
Yeah.
Wanting to hug people so much and then trying to build up gumption to tell them to step farther back away from you is impossible.
Right.
For me. Yeah.
Yep. I can't. I want to hug them. Like, it was a lot.
I want to snuggle my boothies. And after the what I think might have been the first match, it was definitely my first fencing match. Josh went in for a hug, and I was like, no. And he was like, oh, crap. Yeah. Nope.
Force of habit, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We're fairly safe because they're gloves, they're masks that were only one to put to a person, and you're wearing your own stuff. And, like, that part makes sense. The part that was the problem was that there was only a teeny bit of shade.
I mean, we threw tons of it, but none of it stuck.
I understand.
So.
Oh, God, it was miserably hot. But still good.
Yeah. But I miss our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was that. Yeah. And that was a good time. And, yeah. Salsa.
Yep.
Good. Oh, I'm happy for you, buddy. That sounds nice.
Fucked up my shoulder.
Oh.
Aww.
I decided yesterday that I had a little bit of free time that didn't have anything else filling it up.
Dangerous.
And so, yeah, exactly. So I decided to play some Sweater.
Yeah.
And I played that for a few hours, but I was playing it in, like, my wingback chair in the living room with my mouse on like the chest next to me.
Yeah.
And that meant that my arm, instead of kind of having like a natural, you know, moving inward from elbow to wrist, it was kind of pointed outward from elbow to wrist. It was flared away from my body. So after a couple hours of that, rotation on my shoulder, like, I woke up this morning and my shoulder was like, fuck you! So.
Is it your sword-swallowing shoulder?
So anyway, what I'm saying is, I'm not as young as I used to be.
Oh.
So.
That's fair.
But that's the other thing is we.
That's accurate.
Other thing is we're getting ready to go.
Right.
Yeah.
I will not be on the podcast for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I will be.
Oh, we have plans.
I know. So yeah. I will be in Yellowstone. So we'll find out what these have, you know, cooked up for you. But so
you've invited all of your worst enemies to join the podcast.
That's literally anyone Salsa has met.
Basically.
Yes, but that is also literally what we have done.
Yes.
This sounds like a DuckTales episode.
Woo! Yes.
Yes! Victory is ours.
Has Jenna told you about DuckTales?
Never heard of it.
God damn. Son of it. No, I'm not playing this game, you bitches. I don't like you anymore.
Oh.
Fair.
Yeah, that's correct.
Other than that, my brother-in-law has they do a weekly Jackbox stream, and my group of friends, you know, plays a little bit of Jackbox on the Saturday night, and that's been fun. You know, we play some Drawful, and we play some, Quiplash, yeah.
Quiplash and Trivia Murder Party are probably my favorites.
Our kind of usual rotation is Drawful, Quiplash, TKO is a fun one. I've bought a couple shirts from TKO from that.
Yeah, the thing is, I haven't played TKO in a very long time, and I think that's probably a lot like Role Models, that it's a lot more fun with our group of friends in Fearless, because I think improv performers...
Yeah.
I think, or festies are probably... Yeah.
Well, that's... Yes. You just...
It does make for fun t-shirt designs that come out of that. Yeah. Like I said, I've now bought two t-shirts from that game. What else? We have been playing the Murder Party.
Yeah.
But we had to stop because he was transmitting that his stream through Mixer, and Mixer shut down. And so now he's transmitting through Twitch. But Twitch seems to have more of a lag. There's a good 3-second lag. And so, people are still, writing their answers and stuff, and the timer gets to 3 seconds, and their devices say, "You're done!" And they're like, "But I wasn't done!" And so and some of those, in the Murder Party, some of those are head-to-head competitions to see who doesn't die. So you need to have some speed on it. So we've kind of stopped playing that one as much. But our four, like I said, we do Quiplash, Drawful, TKO, and the other one that we do a lot of is I can't remember what it's called, but it's the Rapping Robots.
Oh yeah.
Verse City something.
Yeah.
I do feel like with the Trivia Murder Mystery Party, whatever, that would totally be something that they would do, though. Like, if the Murder Mystery Party knew that it was lag that was causing you to lose 3 seconds unexpectedly, they would totally say, "Oh, looks like you lost 3 seconds due to lag."
Yeah.
Looks to be you. Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying the Rapping Robots one, because that's just Vill insults. I could do that with my eyes closed.
Yeah, I should try that with Fearless friends and with
playing the Rapping Robots game with the Fearless with the Vilification Tennis crowd, honestly, would be a good time, I think. We started playing Split the Room too. That one's been pretty fun.
That one is so good.
Especially with people that you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to know them.
Some of those games you can play with people that you don't know, but it is so much more effective and so much more fun if you know them.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my beta almost died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've got a beta named Ori, who is my male beta. I have Kipo, who's my female, and Ori, who's my male. And Ori is twitchy as fuck. He would spasm it, like, a lot. And so I tried introducing him to my 10-gallon tank with a divider between him and my female Kipo. And the power filter was forcing him to go in circles, like it was just overpowering him, and he just did not have a good time. So like,
Kipo
liked it. Ori
water slide.
Did not. Yeah. Because it was on his side of the division, and so it was a 5-gallon tank with too fast of a power filter, like a waterfall. And so I had to unplug it. And then as soon as he looked over, he's like, oh, female. And like started, you know, flashing his gills and shit. And if males do that for too long, then it adds stress and they die faster. So I was like, oh, this is not real. Turn back in the power filter. Cue salsa.
Yay.
Fuck you. So then I put him in a littler container, like a 1.5 gallon, because I was like, oh, well, he needs to chill. And he was still twitchy, was starting to chill, and then all of a sudden he has ammonia poisoning and fin rot. Yeah, and he's like laying at the bottom of the tank on his little moss ball, looking into the sparkling sky, blubbing his last words. And so I'm like, oh, well, that's not good. So I... It's so bad if Ori dies. Like, tomorrow I'm going to find him dead in the tank, and...
No, Salsa will be okay.
We can find ways to make that not okay, though.
He'll ask if he can swallow it for a show.
Can I?
No.
I mean, God. You might get the retribution you deserve.
I mean, there's that.
So I got him an emergency tank. I had to go out, and I spent a whole evening going to different places. And I am in lockdown mostly. I only go out for maybe groceries if I need them and medication. So, like, and, like, you know, yarn, which is necessity. So,
right.
Doing better, though. He's, I have him in a 5-gallon tank, and he's got his medicine. He still has fin rot, but we're working on it.
Yep.
So.
He looks a lot happier.
Is there anything you can actually do about it? I don't know anything about fin rot. Is it just hoping that it goes away itself, or is there anything you can like do actively?
No, there's like little fish medication.
Yeah.
Yes,
there
is.
Oh, okay.
Part is hiding it in his food.
Yeah, exactly.
Giving him Betafix, which is it is a relative of tea tree oil. Not tea tree oil, but a relative, and that's not working, so I'm guessing it, instead of bacterial, it's fungal. So now I got a fungal medicine for him, and I am putting rooibos tea in his tank. So I'm sharing a cup of tea with my fish every time that I change the tank.
Huh.
Yes, because rooibos, just rooibos, nothing else in it, but if you have just rooibos, it mimics their natural habitat, and it helps to calm them down.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Oh.
Yee. So I'm doing that. I've got like a bunch of other stuff too in there. It's a cocktail. I'm sure he's drunk with pleasure.
Wee.
And on that note, how do you folks do a break?
I think we should take a break.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Woo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Vodka Protein Shake is my Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers cover band.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Bryn.
And nice. We're back.
And I'm a teacher.
Who wants to talk about something?
Me, because I'm a teacher.
Okay.
Cool.
Teach us something about the current state of our education system.
Oh my fucking God. And I don't say that. I don't. God damn it. And James can tell you, I don't say that.
No.
No. She never says that. No. So I, coming at it from my perspective, I am.
Wait, pause. Bryn. Pause. We are going to have to give all of the information on what's happening because we have listeners from out of the country.
Oh, God, they don't know how bad it is here.
Make sure that you're giving enough information for somebody in, say, Germany or Australia.
Where they've actually worn masks like they need to.
Right, well, you know that, yes.
Fucking, I can't. So, here in America, land of the free... Free to drive drunk, free to not wear a mask. No, they're not free to drive drunk, but they're totally free to not wear a mask and endanger everybody else's lives around them. And here in America, where we still have people dying by the thousands every day, dying, not ICU, dying. We think that it's a great idea to open schools. We think that the population that is three times more likely to spread coronavirus all going to the same place and going back to their homes is a great idea. The schools have not given consideration to teachers. They haven't even asked because teachers are not human. They are a commodity that they take advantage of and they will do as they're told so that they get paid their meager wage. I have feelings.
I'm trying to state that you're a teacher, but not where you teach, just to, you know, cover, anyway.
No, I'll say my district, but I'm not going to say what district it is. The district next to us actually has a really good plan, but our district does not. The head of our district got, where to start? Motherfucker.
So I know, right? You thought I was just giving you an easy rant.
Yeah. No, I am a very high-risk individual. I have asthma, I have diabetes, and ever since I started teaching, every time I get even a common cold, it turns into bronchitis that requires steroids that then sends my blood sugars higher and makes it hard for me to actually heal. This is my existence. So if I get COVID... And it turns into bronchitis, and then I have to take steroids, which then makes my blood sugars go higher, which then makes it almost impossible for me to heal from said COVID. My foot's in the grave. And so I have a very personal take on this, but also know that many teachers are very old. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny that a young population doesn't want to teach when it is a known factor that teachers are treated like shit and paid like shit. And are not well supported. It's really funny that we're having a teacher shortage. It's insane. I don't understand it. There's that.
There have been a lot of things. I'm going to start some interviewee type questions to get more information as opposed to straight rant.
Focus this a little bit.
A little bit. Okay, so you've had your orienting rant. So, in the great country of America, I'm sorry, we're not great. We're trying to make America great again, right?
That's
what is that noise?
Hear that?
No idea. Anyway, is there a noise? I mean, there's us playing games, but that's all I got.
I don't hear anything.
Wait, hear noise. Something going on with your computer, honey. Continue.
Talking. Because that is a noise, is me talking.
Oh.
I don't know what, I don't hear it.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, Okay, so to sum up for what we've discussed so far, America is a disaster zone right now.
Yes.
That does not have good plans in place for dealing with COVID.
No.
To a certain extent, it's being handled state by state. Our state is doing better than many, not as good as some. Although I feel for more populated states, we're not doing nearly as bad. We do have some pretty good leadership as far as we tried to get people, you know, it was requested that people wear masks early. We did have a lockdown. Our poor governor has been fighting the other side of the aisle, trying to maintain an emergency state because of COVID so that he can pass things as quickly as he needs to be able to try to curtail what's going on.
But all of America,
I'm dovetailing back into you. Amongst all of this, so we had a lockdown for like 2 months. Lovely. Slowly have started engaging in more social stuff. A little awkward for some. There are various opinions and thoughts on that. Our cases have risen somewhat. Our death toll has maintained steady, which is not, I mean, yay, we're not going up. It is daily in the single digits, so like that could be worse, but we could also be doing better, not killing people. Our ICU has maintained, like, we are purely from a numbers perspective, looking pretty as far as like statistics and graphs and how all of that works. But we have not been getting better. And so where we're at now is in America, we have the summer off for summer vacation. The teachers don't teach unless they're teaching like summer school or whatever. But the students in general have beginning of June, end of August off of school, which is great for trying to curtail COVID, because then you don't have children running in amongst each other. Now there are various things and ideas on the table about how to address the upcoming school year. There's been talk of distance learning. There's been talk of in-person learning. There's been talk of mixes, and a few crazy radicals have been like, let's just skip school entirely. So providing that background into our great country, specifically, and now what our education system looks like. Bryn, rant.
Thank you.
What is the district talking about doing right now? What is our current state?
I guess I'm so entrenched in all of this and just so pissed off that I can't even tell what other countries don't know, because it's fucking stupid. I understand that other countries are having all these political cartoons about us and our us. We're all correct. Anyways, so my district personally has three options. One is to go back full time, no distance learning, which is stupid. One is hybrid, where we would go back so we would filter where a group of kids would go for 2 days, and then we would have a day to do distance learning, and then another group of kids would come for 2 days, ideally. I say ideally, meaning that this is a fucking stupid idea, but that's beside the point. And then the other thing is distance learning. We stay in our homes, we shelter like we're fucking supposed to, and we teach. So a lot of people have been saying, well, hybrid makes sense because it's the best of both worlds. The problem is, before this, we had a sub shortage. The first of the problems that I can make a very clear argument for. We already had a sub shortage before COVID. Let that sink in, that we already had a sub shortage. And this isn't just in our district. This isn't just in our state. This is everywhere. Who wants to walk in on a bunch of kids that you don't know and then try to wrangle them?
Right.
Question mark. So, and I work in an inner city district as well. So, like, there's that. And I've been a sub in our inner city district, and there's that. That's just problem one. If a teacher tests positive for COVID, what happens? So they go home and they distance learn. They make subplans. By the way, subplans suck more than you think that they do. The only reason teachers don't take all their days off is because subplans suck. They are difficult to create and portray, and it's easier to go and just drag your ass into school, even if you're sick, than to write a subplan. So let's say somebody tests positive for COVID. That's not a big deal. You're just distance teaching. What if somebody has COVID and all of a sudden they have to be writing subplans? Okay, what if somebody's in the ICU? Then what? I really want to talk to the people who are going to tell that kindergarten class that their teacher has died. I really want to know how many long-term subs they think that they can actually gather in order to cover the amount of dead teachers that they will find. Even if it's 2 months, the problem is that it only takes one, especially for a lot of our teachers who have a depressed immune system, who are older, who have health issues and chronic issues. So there's that. So there's the sub problem. There's also the problem that in a hybrid situation, teachers would have two full-time jobs. So I don't know how many of you know teachers personally, but distance learning is not easy. I don't know how many of you are parents. I don't know how many of you know teachers or are teachers, but distance learning is not easy for fucking anybody. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for the kid. It's not easy for you. I get that. But it is easier than being dead. Sure. I mean, if I was dead, I wouldn't have to do distance learning. But
So it would be way easier for you if you didn't exist. Right. Yeah. But,
cool. Imagine managing distance learning, which is a full-time job, with being in continually hazardous conditions as well as a full-time job. Right. You're given one day to do a full week's worth of full-time job. And I, and many of my teacher friends, did not just work 5 days a week. We worked into the weekend to make distance learning happen.
Right.
So imagine having two full-time jobs and then contracting COVID. And being expected to write lesson plans while you're in the ICU. They have not addressed this. Nobody has addressed this. My district hasn't even asked teachers how many of us are at high risk.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't asked any of us how many of us are coming back. They don't care. They've asked teachers they've asked parents three times what their preference is, but they haven't even asked teachers what their risk is to their lives. We have had no say in this. So they have no idea how many people are even coming back in the fall if they do hybrid. They have no idea. There was a talk of, there's an online option for students, an all online option for students. And at some point very early on, they had said, at-risk teachers can just do that. But they have never come back to it. Not once, as far as I am aware.
God, that's frustrating. And
I am an at-risk teacher, as I have said. So that is fucking stupid. The fact that our district was going to have students without masks until it leaked. Oh, yeah. No. Leaked in an article by accident that students would not be required to wear masks. Our head person of our district had gotten on Twitter and said, due to the overwhelming feedback we've gotten, we're reconsidering. So here's the deal.
Oh, my God.
Until it leaked and parents said something, they were going to have students unmasked around teachers. Whether our state says that you need to wear masks inside, whether they actually decide whether to not have students unmasked, they were going with the full intention of putting teachers in that dangerous situation the entire time until parents said that that wasn't okay. until parents bitched about it. So we are a usable commodity that is almost guaranteed to contract, to be exposed to COVID, let alone contract it. And what do? Do you shut down the entire school? Do you shut down the classroom? Do you shut down, what happens? Even on a bigger scale than just the teacher.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull it back a little bit. I'm going to pull it back a little bit, and then I'll let you go again. they're talking about feedback from parents. Why would parents want their children to go to a school where there is a possibility of contracting COVID rather than staying at home for distance learning?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. So talking about the reasons why parents would want kids to go back, there is the economical reason that our country is expecting them to go to work. Our country is not supporting them in having a chance to stay at home and shelter themselves. They do not have the money for that. They do not have the resources for that. So I understand that. I also understand that in child psychology, which, by the way, I had to study, and I actually took, I almost minored in psychology. Both my parents are psychologists, blah, blah, blah. I understand in child psychology there is a developmental necessity to being around kids. There is a strong, being somebody who understands what Rapunzel went through much more than I should. I understand that being in quarantine and not with peers your own age in person is detrimental to your growth process. I understand that there is that risk. I also understand that the idea that my kids aren't going to get it, so it doesn't matter. There is less chance of a child contracting COVID. Excuse me. There is a
Godzilla. We support you.
Bless
you. Thank you.
There's less chance of a child contracting COVID than there is of them passing it.
Do you need me to talk for a bit so you can take care of that, or you good? Okay, so I'm going to say, as someone who has been a parent to a child within the school system and who has done both brick-and-mortar schooling and online schooling with my child, one of the benefits as a parent that I see, and this, I'm not saying this is a reason to send your kids back, by the way, let me be clear, because the two difficulties that I had as a parent is, there's no free or reduced lunch when they're at home. And that can be, if you are a recipient of free lunch for some of those kids, that's just how you eat. So there is definitely a problem of basically social programs being run through the school.
Yep.
Right? But the other thing is, and this is where I'm like, yeah, that's hard, but suck it up, parents, is when Jessa was doing online schooling from middle school, we contractually had to have a parent there to make sure that schoolwork was getting done and things like that. And she did have online teachers.
Yeah.
But I was supposed to be there as like a school coach or whatever and make sure she was doing assignments and things like that. And that is a lot more work for parents. Mm-hmm. And I don't know with the inner city distance learning how much that aligns with the online schooling that Jessa did. I assume there are some similarities at least. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so firstly, our district actually had free and reduced lunch. We actually had our cooks and our kitchen ladies, and because they were all ladies actually, so kitchen ladies preparing hot meals and lunches and things. They were preparing food.
The food. Oh, okay.
I mean, they're hot. Yeah. Our kitchen ladies are hot, man. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hairnets, man. Even with the hairnets. And with the hairnets, they were hot. Moving on.
So, damn, that is a special level of hot.
Newly discovered by romantic. Moving on. Woo. So, we actually put meals on a bus and went to bus stops and gave meals. Not me personally.
I can speak to this.
Yeah.
We are still getting a box every Monday.
Good.
That did not stop. That did not stop at the end of the school year. Every Monday, we go to our local elementary school every Monday and get one box for each kid, and it's a week's worth of lunches.
I'm so glad.
And it's
that's good.
Yeah, okay. It is, and I'll as far as I know, every elementary school in the district is doing this. I do not know about junior highs and high schools, that I cannot speak to. But I know that elementary schools are doing this where, and I thought it was going, when the school year ended, that it was going to stop. But nope, it's still going on. But every Monday you go and you get a box. And it's got sandwiches, and it's got little reheatable pizzas, and they'll have fun things in there like packets of mac and cheese or stroganoff or bagels or little microwave waffles or there's always some fruit, there's always milk in there, but it's meal, it's a breakfast and a lunch for 7 days. We get those, one for each kid every month.
Oh,
so that is a thing that thankfully schools have been continuing to do, is making sure that people can get that food.
Okay, that does kind of take away that social program, right, to a certain extent. There's all the, and I'm not saying this to diminish teaching at all, but the quote unquote daycare aspect of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is more, you don't have to be, you are able to go off to work, mm-hmm, rather than, you know.
Yep. And that segues into your next question about, like, mm-hmm, having a parent there. So we did not have a, like, you need a parent to be there. It's recommended, or else your kids probably won't do the work. But we had a big drop off of kids not doing their work, right? I mean, part of that is the trauma and stress of being in a global pandemic at the time. Over the summer, I personally have been able to rest and recuperate, and my mental health is much better than it was in June.
See, my wife has been teaching summer school.
I have not. I've been doing D&D camps through Adventures in Purple. Mm-hmm.
She had a 2 week break, and then she had to go back to teaching. And she's like, I mean, she had to, just like you probably, you know, did, it went from teaching in school to, we're teaching at home now, and she had to put up together a home office. She didn't have the home office that I have set up, because I had time to set everything up. She just threw some stuff on the kitchen table, and that's still her office.
Yep.
Or the dining room table. That's still her office. We've gotten a better chair for her because her hips were getting fucked up and stuff. But like she, you know, and just, you know, with doubling down on the kids, you know, we don't have high school kids who can kind of be supposedly relied on to do their own work. This is a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. They need supervision, and she is teaching school, and I am doing my job and trying to keep them focused on school.
Which is like part of how it segues into your question, into your point, Jenna, about daycare. You're all experiencing 30th to 35th of what we experience daily. Like, you are taking care of 1 to 2 children while doing an extra task as well as teaching. Or you're not even doing the teaching part. Some you are, to be fair. Some you are. But you are doing a full-time job, which is what I do to come up with these lesson plans, as well as and lesson plans that normal school, like brick-and-mortar school. You are doing your job as well as teaching 1 to 2 kids and having them keep their concentration, sit in their seat like they're supposed to in a traditional school. I have issues with that. You are trying to get them to concentrate on something that they may or may not be interested in, while they may or may not be neurotypical in a society where where we are not equipped to be able to allow children to be independent learners because we have not taught them how to be independent learners from kindergarten. I have thoughts. So, like, in my teaching, I try my damnedest to make each of my students an independent learner, and it takes me at least a year to get them to the point where they're starting to understand it, and then I get rid of them, and I get a new crop of kids who have no idea what independent learning even sounds like.
Right.
They've never heard of it. They don't know what that is. So, what parents, and I feel for you, and I understand, and I hope that you understand that I have this times 30 as well in my classroom. So as much as you, like, unless you are a parent who has been in a classroom with a teacher while they're teaching on a bad day, usually teachers get to see the good, or usually parents get to see the good days because the kids shape up. But, like, because there's another adult in the room. Usually my day is what you see, but probably a bit worse because you're not there. So I'm sorry. I know your pain, and I'm
basically sorry. Everything sucks. Yeah,
everything. I actually got diagnosed with depression in January, and I went on a depressive spiral, and I didn't even realize that I had depression before this. And when I have ADHD as well, which is something that I am used to telling people. I have ADHD. A teacher with ADHD, my son has ADHD, and I use it regularly. When I suspect that a kid has ADHD, but I haven't read it in their file, I'll say, you know, I have ADHD. And then the parent behind the kid at the parent-teacher conference will point down at the kid and nod, and I go, yeah, we're speaking the same language. And it's a way for me to connect with people. But having depression is a completely different thing for me. And so I made the decision to be open with the fact that I am going through a depressive spiral, and that I am getting diagnosed for depression, and I am taking meds for depression. And so the amount of teachers who I told, who said as well, oh, I have depression too, nobody ever talks about it, is astounding.
Wow.
I talked to one of my leaders of the school, and he said it is shocking how many teachers have depression, and yet that is not a study that has been done. That's not a number that we that we looked into. So many teachers have depression. And it speaks to how hard we are already worked, and how desperate our situation in American school systems already is. So, like, I understand that you're having a hard time. I get it. If you are home with your kids, I get it. If you have to leave them alone, that is even harder. And there are people who do not have means that I might have. You know, if I had a full-time job and I was a single mom and I had a five-year-old, I don't know what I would do. I have no idea what I would do. And so I understand the premise of having an in-person option no matter what. I understand that premise, but the problem is not the schools, it is the systematic problem of the government, in that they cannot afford, the government does not give us enough money or support us as a people enough to be able to support our students and our parents and our people. And so if our government were to support its people like it should, then parents would be able to stay home and help their kids learn and not put them in the point of fire where they are going to die because of COVID. And they would not be endangering the teachers that they already are running out of in order to run this failed experiment.
Right. Man, Tulsa, we should have had Raider Leon too.
I know that. Well, maybe it's best we don't, because this would have gotten.
I mean, Raterly is doing the teaching, and she's got a 5 and 7 year old. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like we're doing both ends.
I want to be told, and I want to, like, because I understand I don't have kids.
Oh, you're not wrong.
I just wanted to make sure that I was interpreting that correctly, that I'm not wrong.
No. She would not have been disagreeing with you. She would have been agreeing with you, and this would have... Yeah.
I could have gotten the parent and teacher conference done all in one person.
Yeah, oh, it's... My wife also has opinions.
If you think that you are not supported enough at home with your 1 to 2 children, then you're feeling the problem that we have as teachers.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Like, if... I just...
Anyway, okay.
Come fall, because if they force me to be in the classroom as a part of my job title, I'm going to say no! And I've lost all opportunity for me to continue my art teaching career because of COVID and because of the way that they're handling this.
Right.
So I will continue to be a K-6 teacher and have 6 different subjects that I teach to kids daily or weekly, and who all have mathematical or writing and reading abilities that span from kindergarten to 12th grade, no matter what grade I teach.
And Grin's dead. Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right, yeah, that's probably wise.
That's a wrap-up.
Dear listeners,
Sorry, real quick. Thank you for asking me, though, and thank you for letting me talk about it. This has been a present part of my life for a really long time.
I have wanted this perspective on the podcast, not only for other Americans listening, but for people outside of America that are kind of staring at us like, what the fuck is even going on over there?
This
to give them a slice of,
lot.
Well, really, it is that bad. Yeah. No.
It's not worth our lives. Please stop.
Right.
Yep. All right. Dear listeners, if you have opinions, comment in the Facebook comment section. You know how that works. We're going to take
comment
a break. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Wait, really?
Did
you really just do that? Oh my fucking god.
Ugh.
I'm Jenna.
I'm disappointed.
Oh.
That's fair.
That is fair.
Let's do a fast five.
Fast five.
Fast five.
That's all you say.
We're about to find out.
Today's Fadit 5 comes to us from the misspelling of Eric Thompson.
Curse the French.
Work.
Eric says, "Sup, fuckers."
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Question number one.
Woo.
Walk or run?
Run.
Walk. I don't run. I might pick up the pace, but I don't run.
You pick up the thick and chunky one?
Yeah.
Walk, because I recently read an article about women finding that playing on foot chicken against dude bros is a fun activity.
What? The fuck did you just say?
You were the one who shared this with me.
What?
Yeah.
You give context for the rest of us, though, for crying out loud.
Women discovered that they were always stepping aside dude bros who were And so one of them was just like, now I just make eye contact and I will walk straight the fuck into them.
Yep.
And someone else was like, yeah, if I use my murder walk, like I'm on my way to fucking murder someone, everyone, including dudes, clear a path. So that's just what I do now.
Honey, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're that dude.
Which dude?
You're not the woman in this situation.
No, I know.
I think the thing is that most of his is just out of pure obliviousness. Like, he doesn't see the world around him, so...
I will actually do this when there is a group of people doing that thing where there's, like, four of them walking side by side down the sidewalk.
Yep. Just go straight into him.
I'll stop and stand there and let them walk right into me.
I shout, Red Rover, Red Rover. I think this is fucking amazing because I think it's good to recognize expectations and to break inequality and encourage equality. Also, because people at the restaurant where I used to work used to tease me for getting out of the way. So much. Like, I came back into the little servette to find them like, oh, pardon me. Oh, no, pardon me. Because I would always, like, dip out of the way because I'm tall
big
and
guy.
And I always feel in the fucking way. So I make a point of trying to not be
in the way.
Yeah, so I think this is great for a lot of reasons.
No, I think that it's really interesting that, like, women are already, like, a woman on a mission is scary. But the fact that men are so unused to women continuing their mission through them makes them even more terrifying.
Those
is great.
Are...
It's because they're not used to it. Because...
Yeah, they've just never met Jenna.
No, I just miss running. I miss being able to go outside and get my energy out and run and go to my gym. Mm. That's why. And the zombie apocalypse.
I don't like running. I like biking.
Yeah, a bike would be helpful in a zombie apocalypse.
I like walking.
Not
bike would be really helpful. No, yeah. You're going to have a hard time getting me to run for any extended period of time. But a bike, I could figure that out.
I'm with Jenna on the running half of things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... I do it in short bursts. I don't know if you guys remember that I do parkour. It's not a marathon. It's to get to the wall, to get over the wall, and then get to the next obstacle.
I mean, I enjoy doing parkour when I'm playing Assassin's Creed.
Also that.
I'm so happy for you. I did not get my chance yet. I know Fight or Flight is open, but I did not get a chance to do cosplay at Fight or Flight with Assassin's Creed clothing.
Rad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe when everything comes down.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fucking cool. Yeah.
Okay. Question number two. Catapult.
Ooh.
Or flood of letters from every possible entrance, like in Harry Potter.
Catapult.
Wait, is this like
how do we convince people?
Catapult.
How do we get Trump out of the office? I choose catapult.
I
choose trebuchet, but catapult is the closest.
I feel like he's too stupid to know that he's being drowned by letters, and he would somehow, in his stupidity, still live through it.
Right.
So, because it's literacy, and there's like a deflection of literacy from him.
He has a +10 against words.
So, catapult.
Yeah.
I just think catapults are fun.
Amen.
Also true.
Question
go ahead.
Number three. Catapult.
Ooh.
Or flash mob.
Flash mob. This would annoy the fuck out of Joe Moore, and the answer is flash mob, and I'm fucking in.
Yeah, if it was a catapult, Joe would be delighted.
Yeah, that's right. True. Mm. No matter which end he was on.
Mm.
Right?
If we're still going with the Trump analogy, fucking catapult. If we're talking about anything else, flash mob.
How do you flash mob Trump out of office?
You don't, because it's called a riot and that's not working.
Isn't it, though?
No, it's not. He brought in the feds. Like, it's, I don't know how much you want to talk about this.
I'm going to say catapult because I've been playing Besieged again, which is a game where you use little Lego bricks to build warfare implements.
That sounds just your speed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. To build catapults and...
out of Legos.
Giant rock throwing machines.
We still haven't done a Lego set yet.
Oh, I've never done a Lego set. Yeah. Yes. Maybe like a Star Wars Lego. Yeah.
Okay. Question number four.
We can never afford it.
Swift kick in the groin.
Ooh.
Or timeout.
Yes.
Yes.
I was about, yeah, first one, then the other, and it really doesn't matter which direction, although probably kick in the groin first.
And then
see, I'm afraid this is going to happen to me, and so I'm going timeout.
I don't know. I've used my teacher voice on adult men before, and it works. And it freaks them out that it works. There was one time somebody was being racist, and I told him to put down his phone three times before I turned my teacher voice on to 11, told him to put his phone down, chewed him out, and then I said, understood, in my most teachery of voices, before I knew that my teacher voice was coming on. And he slowly nodded and then, like, looked back at his phone and looked at me and looked at his phone and looked at me again to make sure it was okay that he got his phone back. And I think that might have been more effective than if I had kicked him in the groin.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't expecting it, and it worked.
Yeah?
He could have gotten angry if I kicked him in the groin, but the timeout, the teacher voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sneakily.
Okay, so which one are you saying?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, yes to both, but if I had to pick one, probably timeout.
Yeah.
Timeout because of the shock dynamic of, oh, instead of just getting angry that a woman kicked in the groin.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, let's be clear. I am not being known to be a violent person.
Huh.
To enjoy violence, which is all accurate. However, in practice, I will always give somebody the lesser option first, unless I am directly being threatened.
Yeah.
Sure.
If it's direct threat, then kick him in the fucking groin.
Yeah. Kick him in the jimmies and run away. Like, yeah, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
But any other situation, I will go with the stern conversation, the whatever else, before I go to violence.
Same.
So I'm going to say time out, but I'm going to giggle a little bit about kick him in the groin.
But man with a football in the groin has a man getting hit with a football in the groin. I'll go timeout because in a Ville match, I think I would find it more enduringly funny that Jessa got a timeout from her mom than that, like, one of us got kicked in the groin.
That's
that, like,
fair.
Me or David Rand McKay or Kelvin.
We tried to ground her a couple of times when we were in Ville together.
Yes.
But if
you said, young lady, you are grounded.
Yes, that's what I remember, and that's what I'm thinking of. But like, your child being grounded during a Ville match, I think, is more enduringly funny as a story.
Like, if she's grounded, she goes to the corner, and then the mini game, like in the middle of the matches, comes up, and she starts walking over, and Jenna goes ah,
nah.
Points her back to the corner, and she just sulks.
We didn't get to play with that at all.
Because, yeah. Like, a former host of this podcast used to get kicked in the groin on the regular for comedy's sake, and I just don't feel like that has the lasting comedic value that grounding does.
There.
Okay. Question number 5. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Well, this vanilla. Is obvious that the superior one is vanilla.
Clearly, you two don't have periods.
No, we don't.
Clearly.
No, but here's the thing. Do you know what they put in chocolate to make it taste better? Vanilla.
Do you know what a period is?
Never heard of it.
There's a period going on. Chocolate.
Murder walk and kick him in the groin.
I've always found that when my wife was having a period, I still prefer vanilla.
That's hilarious.
That is a different statement than vanilla is a superior option.
No, it still is.
But it is.
Jesus, man.
Not far off.
I mean, when I have a headache, I take ibuprofen, but I'm not saying ibuprofen's superior to vanilla.
I mean, for a heart attack, aspirin's probably better than either of those.
I mean,
I don't see anybody like clutching their chest and being like, "Quick, I need Ben and Jerry's."
No, clearly not vanilla in that case. You need essential oils in that case.
Oh yeah, that's what you need.
Chocolate.
We open up the second email now, and we find that Eric Thompson has said, question number 1, walk or run. If you were bitten by a zombie, and that particular zombie plague didn't determine your speed, would you be a slow zombie or a fast zombie?
Wait, say that again?
If you were bitten by a zombie, and the particular zombie plague itself didn't determine your speed, would you be a slow zombie or a fast zombie?
I think it depended on how much it took over my mind. If I still had some of myself left, I would be a slow zombie to give people a
parkour zombie.
But if I was going on pure instinct, and that was something that I wanted, and my gut was telling me that I needed, I would be a running zombie. Sucks.
I need to say I am currently delighted that it was Eric Thompson that submitted our questions,
yes.
And now he is accidentally asking what kind of zombie Bryn would be when they played siblings in a play wherein she got turned into a zombie.
And the moment that I woke up as a zombie was the moment that the lights turned out. Because I remember...
Are you a fast zombie or a slow zombie?
I would be a fast zombie and he would be fucked. But he was already, like, that was such an emotional...
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Fuck.
I loved doing it so much. I would have...
The director was a bitch, though.
But the question... Huh? Who was the bitch? The director? Yeah. No,
that's what
I heard. The whole question of... Oh, my God. The whole question of the show was, is there any humanity left in you when you are a zombie?
Right.
So if my question, my statement still stands, if there was, if she was right, if my character was right and you hold humanity left, or you have humanity left in yourself when you become a zombie, then she would be a slow zombie. If she was incorrect and it is instinct only, she would have been a fast zombie.
Salsa. Yeah.
What if I have no humanity before I become a zombie?
Oh, then we all know you're just going to be a slow zombie because you're boring.
Oh, yeah. No, I would be the stoner of slow zombies.
Yeah.
I would just be wandering around like, what's going on, everyone?
Everybody wanted to eat our brain, but he's just making himself a fucking sandwich.
He's getting Taco Bell.
I feel like I would be a slow zombie until somebody like tried to attack me, in which case I would be like instant fast zombie, and they'd be like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Yeah,
stealth fast zombie.
Yeah,
yay! But like, if you don't fuck with me, I don't care. Mm. Just don't fuck with me.
All
right. I think I would be a slow zombie, but just have like preternatural luck in escaping anti-zombie defenses.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think eventually I would just become a mascot.
You'd be the reason they couldn't go out to get supplies, though.
No, because they'd be slow. They could easily like walk past me, and they would just be like, "Hey, good morning," you know.
All right, question number two. Catapults or flood of letters from every possible entrance, like in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
You are declaring your hatred for someone. Which is the better way to do it?
Catapult.
If it's Trump, catapult.
What if it's a Hollywood exec that is complaining about Captain Marvel being cast as a woman?
Catapult,
yeah. Okay. It's all
yeah, that's
catapult.
Fair. That's
it's
fair. No, it's catapult.
All right.
If it is Finn needing to do a rant about the school system, I'm going to go with letters. Outside of that.
Okay.
I'm going to go with catapult.
I have a podcast for that.
All right. Question number three. Catapult or flash mob?
Mm.
You are professing your love for someone. Which is the better method?
Catapult.
Oh, yeah, I got to switch to catapult.
Oh, straight up catapult on that.
But also, can you imagine at con actually organizing a flash mob for something? Like, I was a part of an engagement where we learned different lyrics to Take My Love, Take My Hand. And then it was, Christy, will you marry me? You know, and it was a Firefly photo meetup. And it was fully orchestrated and everything. And it was super sweet and adorable. And then behind her back. And she was very nervous about it not happening. And it was very cute. So I think that is very romantic. Personally.
Not as romantic as I've got a catapult.
No, that's true.
Yeah, no, I instant...
The problem is if the person doesn't survive the catapulting.
No, it's a look. I've created this elaborate dinner for two, and here's a catapult to deliver it to someone else.
No, see, what I'm imagining is the lover...
All right, my lover.
Tucking themselves into the catapult... to go up to Juliet's balcony.
I think you're all overcomplicating this just a little bit too much. You don't have to fire the catapult. You just, in order to get me, all you gotta do is say, "Hey baby, I own a catapult." And I'm wooed.
No. I have a better method of wooing by catapult, and it's, "Hey baby, here's a catapult for you."
Yeah, I'm done. I'm yours.
Yep, there you are. All right.
Yeah, somebody gives me a catapult. We're doing it.
That no more needs be said. Question number four. Swift kick in the groin or time out. You are able to give one punishment to people who endanger others by refusing to wear masks. You will face no consequences, and magically, the kick does still respect social distancing and safety protocols. Would you rather give them a swift kick of retribution, or be able to force them to take an hour of time out where they have to sit in one spot and think about what they did? Fucking kick them. I would be kicking left and right.
Time out. Because they're doing it because this is an inconvenience and it restricts their freedom.
I'm going to restrict their freedom all the way up through halfway their into their torso. Like, their freedom is going to be so restricted that it's going to, they're not going to be able to have kids. Jenna.
Question. Oh, Jenna had a question for you.
Yes.
I don't know which one of us did.
Jenna.
Do I get to rant at this person during the entire time of the time out?
Oh, that would be so good.
I'm going to say no, because it does say it where they have to sit in one spot and think about what they did.
No.
I know, but based on the standard definitions of timeout, that is usually isolated.
Yeah, but then you can't tell them about how they're going to kill their grandma and how everybody around them is going to.
Well, they don't fucking care.
Right? They're going to have erectile dysfunction.
They don't give a shit.
They might care about erectile dysfunction.
They're going to have erectile dysfunction when I kick their balls in.
That's fair. I like that one.
Yeah.
The question that I have is, are other people granted the same thing?
It says you are able.
Because if one person, here's my thinking. If one person, one crazy chick, quote unquote, kicks him in the groin, then that's like one crazy chick. But if other people can do it as well,
nope,
then it
just you.
Second, I think that I would want to kick them in the groin. I would. My first instinct is to just fucking kick them in the groin because they are killing people. They are potentially killing people around them. My logical side of my brain is saying put them in timeout so that they can't infect more people.
But it's only 1 hour.
I understand, but it is what I can do.
Yeah.
And if it gets them an hour closer to closing time. And if it prevents them from being at the bar later, and if it prevents them from continuing to socialize for an entire hour, that would be the responsible thing to do.
Counterpoint. Oh, Jenna.
I just want to say, it's a little bit of a side thing, but when Bryn was like, well, but it's all I can do, I like remembered the story about the little kid that was throwing the starfish back into the ocean. And the grumpy old man is like, well, what's that going to accomplish? And he's like, well, I'm helping. And the old man's like, well, look at all of these starfish. And the little kid is like, but it matters to this one, and throws it into the ocean.
Can I tell you, one of my elementary, like pre-K to third grade literacy professor at Bethel gave us a going away bag at the end of the semester that had that story and a dried starfish in it.
Oh my god.
And she didn't know, no sense
of irony.
She meant it sincerely.
Yes. No, irony.
And so I would go up to some of my fellow students and I'd be like, hey, did you get the gift that she gave us? And they'd go, yeah, isn't it so sweet? And I have to go, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Until finally one girl who throughout our entire Bethel career together kind of side-eyed each other whenever something fucking stupid was happening. she was like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one.
You see, this starfish didn't matter. Here's my counterpoint. If I can kick them in the groin hard enough that they don't reproduce and have more stupid kids.
Kicking them in the groin might take them out for the entire day.
Yeah.
If I could get steel-toed boots.
Yep. Yes. I'd be wearing Doc Martens all over the place.
Doc Martens, and then knee pads, just in case they're close enough. I think a swift knee of the groin would be pretty effective.
It's true. Mm.
All right, question number five. You can only bake or eat baked goods with one of these flavors in the recipe. And something like a cake that has both cocoa powder and vanilla extract would be prohibited by either choice.
Oh,
you cannot have baked goods with the option you do not choose. Yes,
vanilla.
Yes, this only applies to baked goods.
Vanilla.
Which flavor do you choose?
You asshole.
Vanilla.
Because most chocolate cakes have vanilla extract.
Yes, they do. That's because vanilla makes chocolate better.
Yeah. Jesus, man.
But also, you shouldn't feel so happy about that.
I still do.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. Yeah, I know.
I don't use the word should very often, by the way. I am making a very specific example for exception just for you, Salsa.
I'll accept it.
Because I can include chocolate in things that do not have vanilla. And although vanilla is my preference, I know that most people prefer chocolate.
And you live with me?
And Bryn. So
now, I don't know if everybody caught the ending there. It said, yes, this only applies to baked goods, which means you can still have a chocolate bar.
Yeah, so. This is why Eric's not dead.
Yeah.
This is why.
Very particular reason.
I went so far.
It would have needed to be more than one. Yes.
That is the end of that. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Send the first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one repeat those choices, and then give us context. Who has a shout out?
I do.
Okay.
I would like to give a shout out to all of the teachers who are responsible for having, like, basically switched jobs in the middle of this last school year, and who are facing extraordinarily difficult decisions this coming school year. And
still don't know for sure what the fuck is going to happen with this upcoming school year, like a month out.
A month out. So I just appreciate them.
Shout out to all the teachers who are currently writing their wills.
Fuck.
Because
yeah.
They know that they're going back. By the way, any teachers in the audience, there is a lawyer in Florida who's giving teachers free wills. So shout out to those who are not going to make the decision that I am to not go back.
Salsa?
I'm going to give my shout out to my sister-in-law who is taking the bar exam tomorrow and the day after. Best of luck to you.
Oh my god.
This has been a long, difficult road, but I know you've got this. You can do it.
Yeah.
I had the honor of writing her a letter of recommendation for this.
Aww.
So I've already said everything I need to say about how awesome she is.
Yeah.
And it counted. So instead, my shout out is going to be for local produce, local farms, local butchers, local everything. Because there's a lot of conversation that happens around how do we best help with world hunger, food shortage items, issues with this, that, or the other thing. And the easiest answer is not about dietary restrictions. It's not even overly about what types of foods that you get, so much as where you are getting them from.
Yeah.
So shop local, not just in gifts and other things that you think to shop local for, but also in your foods and your food choices. Also, local butchers around here are the fucking best. You can just walk in and be like, hey, you got any bones? And they're like, yo, here you go.
What butcher does Joe go to? Do you know?
Actually, it's right. It's in between mine and Salsa's houses. It's Everett's Food Market.
Yeah.
Everett's Food Market.
Right off of, I think it's 38th and Cedar or Bloomington. I don't remember which one, but it's one of those.
I think it's on Bloomington. But,
yeah, you know how Joe's meat is always delicious?
Yeah. I have heard.
The actual, like, steaks and things that he purchases, I know. But, no, like, when you go to one of his meat parties or something and you're like, oh my god, this steak is amazing, he almost always gets it from Everett's.
It is Cedar, 38th and Cedar.
Yeah, yeah, he gets all of his grilling meats from Everett's.
Great.
And that is why it is so good.
I've never actually been in Everett's. I've driven past it so many times, but...
It is so adorable. Bring your own bag. They do have some bags, but they'll look at you sideways. They're slightly co-op-y looking.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's right across the street from where I got my tattoo.
Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Also, with hanging on to that, I got pure rooibos tea from The Wedge in bulk. It was only in bulk. Everywhere else has, like, fucking vanilla. Fucking vanilla in it!
So it's better.
No! So it will kill my fish. Thanks, Bosa.
I do prefer the tea with vanilla in it. But anyway, continue.
But my fish doesn't, so thank you.
No, I understand. I understand.
The chocolate would also kill your fish, just pointing that part out. So,
so thank you, Wedge, for having rooibos for my fish. The problem is, chocolate isn't the infection in rooibos. It is vanilla that is the infection for rooibos tea.
Okay.
Is that all of our show notes?
You can't give your fish chocolate either, honestly. Let's be clear.
Yep. Have we covered everybody? Yep, okay. Who's got something to plug?
Oh my god, you guys! Holy shit! What are you doing this Friday? What are you doing?
Whatever you're about to tell me to do.
Yes.
Yes, you are. So this, technically starting this Thursday, the online version of the Minnesota Fringe Festival is happening. They have a lot of artists that are doing their own price point if they're deciding whether or not they're charging and how much and things like that. If you have a fringe button, and they did have some available this year, and I think you can still go get one or pay the price for it. They have fringe exclusive items as well. This Friday, as a part of the Minnesota Fringe Festival, there will be a fundraiser. The fundraiser is to raise funds for the Minnesota Fringe Festival specifically. Minnesota Fringe Festival is a nonprofit that runs a budget of about $150,000 a year.
That's it?
Right. Like, well, their internal operating budget. It doesn't go. That is their bare minimum. $150,000 is their bare minimum to be able to keep the lights on.
Wow.
Yeah. And this includes being able to pay staff, the rental on the office, all of the various, like, because they already had contracts with technicians and venues and things like that, so to be able to pay out for those things. So they have been in the process of trying to raise $100,000, hoping to make up the extra $50,000 through grants and other various assistance. And so this fundraiser that is happening this Friday that you guys have heard me talking about for the past 3 fucking months, it is finally happening this Friday. We are having Fringemas. So go to adventurousartists.com. We will be live streaming the event to the page. I will make sure to post the event or give Salsa the event information so he can post the event. But you are going to want to go like that page. Go like Adventurous Artists on Facebook because that is where it will be showing. It'll be this Friday, 7 o'clock. It is free to watch. And we have such incredible performers as Hit the Lights,
woo,
which is the company that did the incredible puppetry thing a couple years back. Yes.
I wanted to see them.
Huh?
I wanted to see them. I didn't get to see them.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Well, then you can see them this Friday.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
we have... oh, God, pardon me. We have Whining Sheep. We have the Stupidity Collective or the Stupid Collective, which is the biggest award winning group from last year. We have Blackout Improv performing.
Wow.
Yeah. We have I don't remember what their new name is, but the group that does Bollywood every year.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
What are they called?
They have a new name. It's like STAAP or SAATP or something. I don't want to misquote it. You can find out all of this information on the website at adventurousartist.com. You can find it out on Facebook at our Facebook group, Adventurous Artists, or on the event. We are hosted by Duck Washington, Shannon Custer, and Allison Witham. We've got... we have a silent auction and I'm about to find out what items we have. I'm so excited about all of this, you guys. This Friday, 7 o'clock. This Friday, 7 o'clock Central Time.
7 o'clock.
Huh?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
This Friday.
Not this Thursday.
No. July 31st, this Friday.
That's 7.
Yep. So I will get all of that information. Salsa, go like the group. Go watch this. Watch this. And then also, you know, donate. look at the silent auction items. I've heard of a few of them, but we haven't gone public with them yet. But yeah, you guys want some of that stuff too. So,
yeah.
Attend the fundraiser that I helped put together. I didn't run this one like Die Laughing. They just let me. I know, right?
Is that why you can laugh and be chipper?
Because I'm not going to die from it?
Yes.
Sure.
Never
mind. Well, there you go.
Anyway, so yes, that's what I have to plug is that.
Nice.
Fringemas!
Woo!
I think we found David.
James?
Nothing to plug right now.
Cool. I have two things. One of them is my wife has a podcast.
Woo!
And by my wife, I mean Fondazzi has a podcast, and my wife is part of that. But Fondazzi now has a Fondazzi podcast called What Do You Want? And they have, I believe, the first two episodes have dropped. So go to your standard, you know, podcast listening
places.
Subscription service and look for the Fondazzi Fire Presents What Do You Want? And listen to that. Yes.
Friends, and I'm on it very frequently, podcast called Fanimated, like animated but fans, because we're fans of animated stuff. So Fanimated podcast, where we talk and break down a lot of like animated movies and TV shows and video games. And so it is kid friendly, so you can listen to it with the family. I will say, pick the ones that you have seen because they are spoiler friendly as well. That's the one that I was talking about Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind on. And there is a lot of conversation over race and privilege and the police state that we are going through now. So go and listen to Fanimated Podcast.
Okay.
All right.
The other thing I had to say was right now, between now and August 7th, Casimir stuff is on sale.
Ooh.
If you go to casimirthehungry.threadless.com, all regular t-shirts are only $15.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better at, you know, plugging my stuff, so that's
what I'm saying right now.
But it's on sale right now. Go get it while the getting's good.
What was that again?
Well, you can go to casimirthehungry.threadless.com, or you can just go to my website, sideshowcas.com, and click on the merchandise link.
Thank you.
There's some sexy, sexy leggings on that.
There are. They're not on sale right now, but yes, my shop now has leggings, and it has socks, and it has shoes, and it has all sorts of fun stuff.
Neat!
So. Anybody else?
I love you. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye!
All right. In that case, thank you so very much to Eric Thompson. For his Fast Five. Thank you to everybody who listens to this podcast, and on behalf of myself and James and Jenna and Bryn, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.